Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Defined by Moments. And if this is your first time that you've picked up one of our podcasts, let me kind of give you an overview of where we are in our movement through the book of Proverbs. So go ahead and get your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Now, we are in the middle of the second section that is just filled with wonderful truth, where you'll have a series of Proverbs that are strung together that don't seem to fit well. But as you start to peel that onion and look through, you'll start to see that there are themes that emerge. So we are now going to pick up several larger chunks of the book of Proverbs as we move forward, and that's what we're going to do here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 10 is where we'll start, and we're going to move through chapter 17 and verse 8. And the title of this episode is called The Effort. And the reason that it's called The Effort is you're going to see that there are specific things that we need to do, that we need to make choices that will determine one direction or the other. So Proverbs chapter 16, here we are in verse 10. Really, verses 10 through 15 deal with what I call the weight. And I use that, one, because it's going to alliterate everything else that we do here. But you see, verse 10, the oracle is on the lips of a king. His mouth does not sin in judgment. Skip down to verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of a king. Verse 14. A king's wrath is the messenger of death. Verse 15. In the light of a king's face there is life, and his favor is like the clouds that spring rain. These collection of verses here in verses 10 through 15 really focus on kings set the tone, not only by what they say, but also by what they do. Now, why is that important for us as we're looking at life and leadership? Well, in biblically here, specifically in Proverbs, the primary view of leadership is that of a king. But really, the same thing applies to any leader in any position. You set the tone by what you say and what you do. That's the power of the position that you hold. People look to you. So this is very important for us to understand. And again, I'm going to close this with verse 15 on this section. In the light of a king's face, there is life. If you are breathing life into other people, if you are encouraging them, then guess what? They are going to have life. But if you back up and look at verse 14, if all you do is you're wrathful towards others, you're dictating, then you're bringing death to those individuals. You are not encouraging them. You're actually taking away and discouraging them. So that takes effort. You as a leader will make a choice. I'm going to be wrathful. I'm going to be encouraging. I'm going to set a positive tone. I'm going to set a negative tone. So that's the weight that you bear as a leader. People are going to watch what you do. They're going to listen to every word that they say, that you say, and they're going to make assumptions based upon that. So that's the first part. The second part, in verses 16 through 19, is what I call the worth. This is really something that is important for you to understand. Verse 16 lays it out. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. What do you value more? Possession of things that will be gone? Or things that you can pass on to your children. Let me give you an example. You know, we don't ever really purchase technology. We actually only rent it. Yes, we may buy that phone or that laptop, and we own that, but we're going to replace it in just a couple of years. Why? Because the newest and the greatest and more memory and faster comes out. But wisdom is something that will never, ever fade away. It will never lose its value. Now, why is that important? Because there is a wonderful comparison here in verses 18 and 19. Someone that has wisdom, someone that does not have wisdom. Look at verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. This is the classic verse of pride in the book of Proverbs. And it really lays it out that if you are prideful, if you are always putting yourself out there as someone that is great, then what happens? Your fall is coming. I could take you to an example my senior year in playing basketball. I had a moment where I threw a guy's shot about eight rows up into the stands, and I was very prideful, and I said a few things to him that I should not have. And on the next inbounds play, I landed on someone's ankle and broke my ankle and effectively ended my season. Pride went before a fall. So that's someone that does not hold on to wisdom. Now let's look at the opposite side of this in verse 19. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than divide spoil with the proud. There's the opposite. This is someone that values wisdom. They are humble. They're meek. Sometimes people consider them weak, but they're not. It's that they are choosing to accept what they have, and they're choosing to be wise. So what is it that you determine as more valuable in your life? That's what you show as your worth. Pride shows that you do not value wisdom. Someone that is humble does. So our third section is verses 20 through 24, and this really is what I call words. If you look at verse 20, you know, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise of heart is called discerning. Now, this is amazing to me, because when we often talk about words, we think about the things that we're saying, the things that we write. That is true, but we have a source of those, and our source, as Christians, our source is those that are seeking the truth, should be the Word of God. Whoever gives thought to the Word, whoever gives thought to the matter will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts where? In philosophy? No. Blessed is he who trusts in higher learning? No. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It goes back to Solomon's thesis. You've heard me say this 100 times if you have listened to the series. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we are seeking God's truth, if we are putting our time and effort there, what happens? Verse 22, good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it. We will gain that good sense, and we will be spreading that out for others to see, ultimately leading to verse 24, where we speak gracious words that are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. We, in turn, encourage others. We spread the wisdom that God has blessed us with, and that gives others life. It gives others sweetness. Our world is struggling. Every time you turn on the TV, or if you go to any kind of a news channel, whether online or on the radio, what do you hear? You hear the negativity. What we don't hear is wisdom. What we don't hear is encouragement. And we get that by being firmly founded upon God's Word. It goes back to verse 20. Whoever gives thought to the Word will discover good. So we have seen so far, wait. That your position means that others will look up to you. We have seen worth, that if you value wisdom, that is going to directly result in how you act in front of others. You'll be humble, not prideful. We see that there are words. It takes effort to study God's Word, to find what He has for us, but more importantly, it takes effort in order to surrender what we want to do in difficult situations. Now that gets us to verse 25 through 33, where we see the ways. Now, this entire section really flips back and forth. You can see in verse 25, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. In other words, our culture says, you know what, just eat, drink, spend money, do whatever you want, because you're only here for a short time. There's truth to that. We are here only for a short time. But that philosophy and that thing, that thought process negates the fact that there is an eternity. We have a soul that will live beyond our human bodies, and we should be living with eternity in mind. So we have to choose the way that we are going to travel. If you look at verses 26 through 30, you see a lot of the bad ways. You know, working for your appetite, you know, plotting evil, dishonesty and spreading strife, violence towards your neighbor. Notice how verse 29 closes. All of this leads him in a way that is not good. It's not good because it's not wise, and it's not wise because it's operating upon man's opinion of what we should be doing, rather than turning to the Lord, our Creator. Verses 31 through 33, where I really want to focus, speaks of the right ways. Notice verse 31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Now, the imagery here is really nice for someone like me. One, I'm losing my hair, but most importantly, the little hair that I have left is turning gray. I'm getting older. But what that says is a life that is long, and it is lived in wisdom. That is what's the crown of glory. And how do you get that? It's because you live a righteous life. You go back to wisdom that underlies every single thing that we've talked about so far, with weight, worth, and our words. We can live a long life and have no life in those years. But if we know what really matters, if we understand the truth of life, then we could live a short life. And guess what? We would still have a life of joy. Verse 32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." This is the right way. This is a response that is hard. You know, if you were physically here with me, I would show you my left arm. When I was a kid, I got mad at my brother. Now, my brother was 8 years older than me. And I just got so angry one Sunday morning that I took a swing at him. I mean, what is a little 8-year-old kid, you know, going to be able to do to a 16-year-old boy? Nothing. But I took a swing at him. He got out of the way, and I ended up sticking my wrist through a glass storm door. Cut it. Almost bled out. Why? Because I was angry. I had a really short fuse, and this right here shows the truth. If you get angry, if you get frustrated, if you get perturbed, but you are able to harness that anger, to hold on to that anger, it shows that you have strength that so many others do not have. That comes from wisdom, and that is a way that you have to physically choose. Do I still have a temper? I do. But the fuse is much, much longer. Verse 33, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." In other words, you know, we often will think, well, I'm going to flip a coin to determine what I need to do. We pursue chance. But what instead we need to do is go to the Lord and seek His way. What is the right thing for me to do here, God? Now, we want that answer at the snap of a finger. But what God will often do, He'll give us just enough light to take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, to gradually reveal what His plan for our life would be. So we see weight, we see worth, we see words, we see ways, and then we close this out as we turn into chapter 17 with what I call wants. This is where the effort really comes in. Look at verse 1. "Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." So the effort that you have to put into here is, what do you want? Do I want quiet, which may mean I don't have all the perks of the world? Or do I want strife? I got a house full of friends, feasting and everything, but there's a lot of mess that comes with it. That's a choice that you have to make. And it's all in what you want. If you're chasing the trimmings that this world offers, you're probably going to end up with strife. But if you're chasing quiet time with the Lord and seeking to serve Him, then that's going to lead to something else. Let me give you an example. So often we, you know, if we're blessed at work, we get a good performance review and we receive a bonus or a pay raise, and what do? Oh, I can now go buy me whatever, fill in the blank, boat, new car, you know, stuff to support your hobbies. But is that really why we've been blessed with that raise? Or were we given that raise to turn around and give more for the gospel to be shared across the world? Are we given more so that we can give more? That's something that you have to decide, because it goes back to what you want. Verse 2. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. Do you want inclusion or do you want exclusion? The power of this verse is that it says a servant who by his choices will rule over the son because of his choices. So someone that's not in the family will be over those who are in the family. That's inclusion versus exclusion. Verse 3, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests the hearts. Do you want to be refined? Or do you want to be rejected? Thinking, well, Joel, that's kind of harsh. No, it's not. Would you want to, and I'm going to use an example here. When I went to buy my wife her engagement ring to ask her to marry me, did I want to just go buy a cheap glass that was shaped like a diamond and give that to her? Or did I want to actually get her a diamond? Well, I wanted to get her a diamond. I wanted to get her something that was more pure and more meaningful or more valuable. Well, that is the choice that we have to make. And if we want to be refined, then there's effort that we're going to have to put forward. But also that means we're going to have to go through some tough times. And we don't like tough times. Verse 4, do we want to waste time? Or do we want to redeem time? Look at that. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. How does that apply to, you know, wasting time or redeeming time? If you're standing there and you're listening to someone gossip about other people, you're wasting your time. Because what they're doing is they're talking about people rather than talking to them. And if they're gossiping to you about someone else, then guess what? They will gossip about you to someone else. Verse 5, we see that, you know, do you want to insult or do you want to delight God? Verse 6 is one that really means a lot to me, that grandchildren are the crown of the age and the glory of the children is their fathers. Do you want to create a lasting legacy or do you want a lacking legacy? We make that decision every single day with what we do. Verse 7, do you want truth or do you want falsehood? And then verse 8, a bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Do you want to buy things or do you want to earn them? There are folks in this world that can acquire a position because of the money that they have. And when they get into that position, they are so far over their head. Everyone knows it, but they've paid for that spot. The better path takes effort for you to earn that position, to earn that name on whatever building, you know, as a memorial to you because of what you've done, not just because you've got money and you've given it to someone else. It all goes back to a want. Do you want the name recognition or do you want to earn the respect of others? And quite frankly, if you're asking me that question, I would rather have respect of others than the recognition of others. It all goes back to the effort that you want to put in. Do you want to put in effort or not? And where we put that effort matters. Again, I have to go back to verse 20 and 21. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. If you put your time and your effort in the right things, in unearthing God's truth, it will affect your life, others will notice, and then God gets the glory. That's why we're here in our life and in our leadership. So as we wrap this up, let's look at two real lessons that we need to walk away from. Number one, your end is expected by your effort. In other words, what you're doing now is going to determine where you get to later. If you want to be able to dunk a basketball in a year's time, but you've done no work on your legs, you've not run, you've not jumped rope, you've not lifted weights, you've not done anything, well, guess what? The end is going to be expected that you're not going to be able to dunk a basketball. But if you're putting in that effort on a daily basis, it will lead to results. So I'm going to get very specific. Some of you may be listening to this and are not Christians, and that is fine. But are you spending time in God's Word? If we do not spend time reading the Bible, but instead spend time reading on social media, then we can have an expected end. Focus on the things that value. Put the effort into those areas and watch the difference that it makes in your life. So number one, your end is expected by your effort. And number two, a lasting legacy comes from listening, learning, and living. We so often want this glorious position to have wealth, to be looked upon by people and admired and oohed and awed over, but yet we neglect our friends, we neglect our family. We spend so much time looking down the road that we miss what is right in front of us. If we want to leave a lasting legacy, then what we have to do is we have to listen to others. We have to learn from life, and then we live what we have gained. It's time. You know, last night I spent some time with my three kids. My wife was putting our 2-year-old to bed, and I just went upstairs and just laid in the beds with them and just talked about some things. Hey, what's school doing for you? Hey, how's this going? Is there anything that I can pray about for you? It's that time and that effort. And one of those kids really cut me to the heart, because as I was about to leave, they went, well, Daddy used to come up here every night and would pray with us before we went to bed. You didn't pray with me tonight. Now, you want to talk about stinging? That did. Because I have my child that has just called me out and said, you know what, Dad, you're not living the things that you're supposedly learning. And we see that. So my appeal to you is, understand, whether you're a parent, whether you're a youth leader at church, whether you're a teacher in a classroom, whether you're a school leader, a leader in a company, a leader of a team, wherever you are, there are people watching you. There are people that are looking to your life in order to know what they should be doing. Ensure that you are leaving them the legacy that you want. And that's going to require effort. Effort in listening to others, effort in learning for yourself, and then effort in living the right way. I close by reading Proverbs chapter 16, verses 20 and 21 one more time. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The heart of the wise is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.